Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. And as we've just heard from Yasha Monk and Mark Blythe there about the assault on working people by financial institutions and how it's fueled nationalist populist movements, you might not turn around and put your money on a former Goldman Sachs banker to head up the Treasury Department in the Trump administration. But your money would be wrong. Steve Mnuchin spent years on Wall Street before going to another anti-populist institution, that's right, Hollywood, to bankroll movies. He also made a stop at One West. That's a bank that aggressively foreclosed on homes after the 2008 housing collapse. Whether Donald Trump supporters will like this choice or not, Mnuchin, if confirmed, would be in charge of a powerful regulator both of Wall Street and in geopolitical relationships. For more on Steve Mnuchin, I'm joined by Benjamin Applebaum. He's Washington correspondent for The New York Times. Benjamin, welcome.
Thanks very much.
Steve Mnuchin has no experience in government, 17 years at Goldman Sachs, years more at other banks and a stretch in Hollywood. What do we know about his career and how he might act at Treasury?
He's a guy who has really had a very deep experience of finance and financial markets. As you said, he spent the first part of his career at Goldman Sachs, which is also the investment bank where his father had worked for years and years. He rose up to become a partner, ran an important bond trading desk, and then struck out on his own and headed to the West Coast, where he has become a really important Hollywood financier, backing movies like X-Men and Avatar. So he's really, he's a high flyer in the world of finance. What he doesn't have is government experience. So he's coming to this job a little bit blind. That's not totally uncommon for a Treasury secretary, but it is the reality in which he finds himself.
He's got some showbiz experience, as you said, which is something that Donald Trump has proven to appreciate. Do we know how Steve Mnuchin might treat Dodd-Frank, for instance, whether or not Congress moves to unwind those Wall Street regulations? The Treasury Secretary has a great deal of control over the strength and the aggressiveness of banking regulations in the Dodd-Frank law.
So Donald Trump has said clearly that he thinks that that law, the new regulations put into place after the financial crisis, are overly repressive on the financial industry. We've seen financial stocks rally in the wake of his election as investors essentially bet that he's serious and that he's going to roll back some of that. And Mnuchin has said that he agrees and that he thinks that some parts of those regulations should be removed, that he thinks that they're making lending too difficult and that some of it should go away. At the same time, neither he nor Trump has suggested that all of it should go away. And so the details are going to be really important in terms of charting the impact.
You know, the Treasury Department has a crucial role in international relations. A lot of people don't realize this, but Treasury is responsible for enforcing a lot of U.S. sanctions on Russia and individual Russians, oligarchs who've run afoul of the U.S. government, still many sanctions with Iran. Do we know how Steve Mnuchin would behave there?
So this is a really important and underappreciated part of Treasury's role. The United States has become incredibly effective in recent decades in really hurting the economies of other nations by imposing tight financial sanctions. It's become one of our most important weapons when we're trying to put pressure on foreign countries. In that respect, though, the Treasury Department is more of a technocratic department. They're doing the work, but they're not necessarily determining the course of policy. So Mnuchin would be in charge of carrying out those kinds of sanctions, but it's not clear how important his voice would be in determining which countries should be subject to those kinds of sanctions.
So let's take a step back from the minutiae of policy for just one second, Benjamin Applebaum, because we've already been spending time on the show today talking about the rise of populism, the pressure that Wall Street has put on the wages of everyday Americans. And I think we're all familiar with the kind of politics that Donald Trump used to win this election. The question's an obvious one. A Wall Street Goldman Sachs banker placed in the highest position at Treasury, other Goldman Sachs bankers, not only throughout the administration, but in the Oval Office itself, in the form of Steve Bannon, top advisor to the president. What does all this say about the populist claims and the people who voted for Donald Trump and what their expectations might be for how he runs the government?
There is some real irony here on the face of it. I mean, Trump in his closing campaign had this 2-minute screed against, in part, global financiers, in which he showed the face of Goldman Sachs' chief executive and basically made him the personification of a global elite that he said had robbed the working class. And now he goes and picks a Goldman Sachs alum to be his Treasury Secretary. I think at first blush, a lot of people are going to shake their heads and say, here we are, back to the same old, doesn't matter who you vote for, someone from Goldman Sachs ends up at Treasury. Now, in fairness, people from Goldman Sachs have charted very different courses in government. some of them turn out to be populists, people who really press for an agenda that is not at all in the interest of their former employer, and some of them prove to be ardent defenders of Wall Street and the status quo. So time will tell what kind of bureaucrat Steve Mnuchin turns out to be, but it is the visuals are not entirely helpful to Mr. Trump's message that he's an agent of change.
Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, Hollywood, and the big banks. Steve Mnuchin, not necessarily the creature you'd expect a populist like Donald Trump to install at the head of the Treasury Department, but that's where he will be nominated. Benjamin Applebaum, Washington correspondent for The New York Times. Thank you.
My pleasure.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.